about some other things, but for tonight, I want us to focus on the first 13 verses here in Philippians 4, where God tells us there in verse 1 to stand fast. That's one bookend of the passage, and the other one is verse 13, which we all know by heart, right? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And in this passage, we find the five inner graces that make this all possible. We did a series a couple years ago on the inner graces that keep us going, and all five of them are in this passage. So how is it possible that we stand fast and can do anything? We're going to find out from these five inner graces in this passage. Speaking of the testimonies, thank you, Bear, for reminding me. They are all together in one video. So Grace is on there. Brother Brent's is on there. It's all one video on the YouTube channel. For those of you online, if you want to hear all 10 testimonies, they're all there together. Beginning in verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudes and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So stand fast is our title. Lord, I pray that you would mightily use your word in our lives as we contemplate these great truths, Lord. May we look into our own hearts and make sure, Lord, that we have these inner graces in our own life, that we might stand fast, that we might be at that position where we can do all things through Christ. Have your will and way in our service. Guide us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll eventually get to the last part of the chapter, which is a very missions-focused part of the chapter where Paul is talking about how the church has helped meet his physical and financial needs. And then the great verse 19, my God shall supply all your need. So we'll be taking that in context. People quote that verse by itself all the time. What's the context? It's missions giving. And we'll have to go back and look at verse 8. That's a sermon in itself, isn't it? But tonight, I want us to focus on this exhortation to stand fast. You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that we're to be unmovable. Amen? This is what God wants for every Christian, and I believe he reveals in this passage how to make that possible. And those five graces that I talked about are all here. So the first one, of course, is joy. Verse 4. And we'll come back, we'll talk more about verse 2, which is unity. But verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. You cannot serve God effectively if you don't have the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Christians can have a joy in the midst of trials. The world doesn't understand this, do they? And that's because our joy doesn't come from our circumstances, it comes from the Lord, which is completely different than the way it is in the world. Look at Psalm 19, verse 8, one of the passages that we often sing together on Sunday morning. Psalm 19, verse 8 says that the source of our joy is also God's word. Notice it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Amen? The Word of God rejoices the heart. And you cannot have joy without the Word. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Amen? And be glad in it. Paul exhorts us here in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice in the Lord always. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, rejoice evermore. So we're commanded to rejoice. Look at 1 Peter 1:8. And this is one of the inner graces that makes it possible to stand fast in the Lord, and that is to have the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, your joy no man taketh from you. But your joy can be taken by the devil. It can be taken by sin. Remember, after David sinned with Bathsheba, he prayed, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He had lost his joy through sin. But here in 1 Peter 1:8, look what he says. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Every Christian should have unspeakable joy. So much joy that you can't even explain it. And that is the very first inner grace that's required to be able to stand fast in the Lord, is the joy of the Lord. The joy that Jesus said, I came to bring you joy, and your joy no man taketh from you, in John chapter 16. So God wants us to have joy. Amen? We'll talk more about verse 5 later, about moderation, but verse 6 is our second inner grace, and that's trust. You cannot be an effective Christian if you're not walking in trust. 100% trust in the Lord. Psalm 56, verse 3, if you would. Psalm 56, verse 3. What does he say? Be careful for nothing. You've heard it before, but that word careful there is an older usage of the English word, which means anxious in modern day. How much do we hear about anxiety today? It's everywhere. But God says, don't. Don't be anxious. Don't be careful for anything. Why? Trust the Lord. Amen. Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Anxiety is essentially fear, isn't it? It's just wrapped up in this fancy word, anxiety. But it's really just fear. It's fear of maybe interacting with people. It's fear of how people are going to treat you or respond to you. It's fear of what the circumstances are going to be. But that's really what anxiety is. It's fear. God says, be careful for nothing. How can we do that? Because we trust in God. Amen? They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, we're told in Psalm 125, verse 1, which cannot be removed. God gives so many promises. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 20. So many promises to those who will trust the Lord. You cannot grow, you cannot serve effectively, and you definitely cannot stand fast if you're not trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. But look at Proverbs 16:20. Look at this promise. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The world's looking for happiness. Well, we just found it. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Look at Proverbs 29:25. We'll see another one. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Everybody wants safety. God says, there's your safety. Trust the Lord. Amen? The Bible says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. God protects us when we trust him. And we could go on and on all night, couldn't we? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. To be anxious is a lack of faith. In the end, it's doubting God's goodness. God says, no, trust. Trust instead. We'll talk more about verse 6 next week about prayer, this beautiful prayer promise. But let's talk about this next inner grace, and that's gratitude. He says everything by prayer and supplication, but we often just fly over those next two words. with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. We like to quote the promise, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, but the promise includes thanksgiving. Amen? In other words, if we're not going to commit all of our trials to the Lord with thanksgiving, then we can't claim verse 7, which we'll get to. And so that is our third inner grace that we cannot serve God without. We cannot stand fast without, and that's gratitude. We must live a life of gratitude. In everything, give thanks, the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Gratitude has to be a part of our lives. David said in Psalm 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing to be grateful. And then Hebrews 13:15, turn there if you would quickly. And so this is our third inner grace that gets us through our Christian walk, and that is gratitude. You can't serve God without gratitude. So God makes it very clear you must have joy, you must have trust, you must have gratitude. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. Continually we're to be giving thanks to the Lord. And if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have to live a life of gratitude. That was one of Israel's problems, wasn't it? They were never thankful. They just complained all the time. God says we're to be thankful for all things, even the trials. So that's number three. Number four, verse 7, peace of God. Amen? The peace of God. This is different than peace with God. We all understand. Peace with God comes with salvation. We're reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's not what this is talking about. And it's not talking about world peace. That's not going to come till the Prince of Peace comes and sets it up. It's talking about the peace in our hearts. And it says it passes all understanding. That's the peace that God promises to his children. Amen. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, God says in Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked don't have peace in their hearts. They don't even know what that is because it comes from the Lord. And they don't have the Lord. Jesus in John 14:27, if you want to turn there, says that he came to bring peace to our hearts. John 14, verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. My peace, not the world's peace, my peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're told in Colossians 3:15 to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And so if we're going to stand fast, if we're going to be able to do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us, we must have peace. The peace of God. And of course, that only comes from God. As we, Isaiah 26:3, keep our minds on him. As we, Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, let our requests be made known unto God. Give him everything. Give me every little request, every little problem in prayer. And God promises peace. And if we have peace, then verse 8, our thoughts will be in line. Amen. And we'll talk more about that in the future, this beautiful verse 8, about what we should be thinking on. He says in verse 9, those things which you both learned and received and heard. We'll talk more about this passage where Paul says, it's okay to follow my example as long as I'm following God. But then he brings us to our final, fifth and final inner grace that's necessary to live for God and to stand fast for God, and that is contentment. Too many Christians are discontented with their circumstances, and discontentment is sin. He says here, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. Man is naturally discontented. That is just part of our fallen nature, isn't it? We're never happy. It's never enough. It's never long enough. It's never short enough. Whatever it might be, we're never content. But God says, as His children, we can be. And Paul says, I've learned some things in my Christian walk. Verse 11, I've learned that in whatsoever state I am. So contentment is something that we can learn as God brings us through life. But it is something that God requires. We have to learn contentment. Therewith to be content, he says, verse 11. He says in verse 12, I'm instructed. So we are taught contentment in the Scriptures. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6. So again, we're going to come back and hit a lot of these verses in the future. It's just that kind of a passage. But tonight, I just wanted to really focus on these five inner graces that we cannot be effective without. Joy, trust, peace, gratitude, and contentment. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. People love to quote the second half of Hebrews 13, 5, which says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We've all heard that quoted hundreds of times in our Christian lives, haven't we? But most people don't quote the first part of the verse. And it's one verse. It's one context. And it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content, we're told there in Hebrews 13, 5. So we are taught contentment. And so Jesus says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. Amen? In John 15, 5, what does he say? Without me, you can do nothing. And I believe he's teaching us in this chapter that if we're going to be effective in standing fast against this world, against sin, against even our own flesh and the devil, that we have to have some things in our lives that are working. Through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. And those things are given to us. We must have the joy of the Lord. If we don't have joy, we're not right with God. We must have trust in the Lord 100%. If we're not trusting God, it means we are afraid and fear is sin. We must have the peace of God in our hearts. We're told it needs to be ruling in our hearts in Colossians chapter 3. The absence of peace is anxiety, I guess, if you want to use a modern word. And we must have gratitude. We must live a life of gratitude. Yes, we're going to have trials. Yes, we're going to have wants along the way. Paul even said himself, I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to essentially have nothing sitting in the jail cell. And he said, in the midst of all that, you know what I learned? I learned to be content with whatever God brings my way. Because discontentment is essentially saying God is not doing what's best for me, or God is making a mistake, and that is sin. It's actually blasphemy. So we must have that gratitude and contentment. Joy, trust, peace, gratitude, contentment, if we're going to be effective for the Lord. And if we are, guess what God promises? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Our strength only comes from the Lord. Amen. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9. We're told to be strong in the Lord. In Ephesians 6, 10. So if we're going to be strong and accomplish great things for Jesus and stand fast, then we must have joy, trust, peace, gratitude, and contentment. And if we do, watch out. God's going to do great things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. This passage is so beautiful. Can't wait to dive in and expound on other parts of it in the coming weeks. But I pray, Lord, that each of us would just look into our own hearts and just look at our own lives and ask, is this where I am? Is the joy of the Lord my strength? Do I have complete trust in my Heavenly Father? Do I live the peace of God and a life of gratitude for all things? And am I always content with what God brings my way? I hope we can say yes. If not, I pray the Holy Spirit would help us to get those things sorted. Thank you so much for speaking to us through your precious and powerful word. We love you.